Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
To come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're traveling over thousands of miles of air, land, and sea. It's time for a gathering of poets from around the world. It must be hard to go unnoticed, you know. It's always just... Sorry, I was going to start reciting The Wind Beneath My Wings, and I completely forgot the lyrics. Good evening. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. We're already killing it. Killing it.
Killing something.
I'm Michael Amadei, one of the hosts. We're glad you can join us. We're back after our week off, which was strange, odd. But before I get into that, let me introduce who's here in the studio with me. This is a little bit different. So I'm going to start with the gentleman who's always here, probably the lifeblood of the show. It wouldn't happen without him. So I'm here with JT. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You? Right.
I'm doing well, thank you. Better than that intro indicated.
It's okay.
Anyway, yeah. And also, a surprise. Joining us here is Christine.
Well, hello.
How are you?
I'm actually doing pretty good. You know, I'm also always here.
I know you're always here, but you're
just
not
upstairs.
Yeah, you're not generally down here sitting in this chair, which is awesome. I'm happy to have you here.
Well,
thank you for joining us. And it's cool to have a female voice on the show again. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
So anyway, JT's adjusting the microphone and everything right now, if you're hearing that. So we took a week off. We didn't really hang out. I mean, I didn't know what you did. I know what I did.
I would hope you know what you did.
Well, that's not always the case. So what did you guys do on our week off?
Let's see. Well, because that was Valentine's week.
Yep.
So we went to Helga's.
Okay, I'm glad.
German restaurant.
You said Helga's. I spent too much time in a Catholic school, man. We went to Hell.
Yeah, we went
AKA
to Hell.
Taco Bell down in Lakewood. Okay. Helga's, German restaurant.
And then on Friday, what did we do, my dear?
You're asking me?
Yes.
Oh, Lord. I don't think we did anything.
I think we just relaxed. Because it was the next day that we went out to see Lego Batman.
Oh, that's right. I had to take him to go see that.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, was it good?
Yes, yeah. It's very enjoyable.
Very
it's
cool.
It's entertaining. It's.
I'm having a hard time to convince myself to go see that.
It holds to the fact that it is Batman, but it's still
sort of
Lego movie.
Which, I'm sorry. I really like Batman movies. I'm just so not inspired by it. I don't know why. Great Wall, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Good.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, I'm glad you guys had a good weekend.
Yeah. What did you do?
I went with Draven Gray, who you will sometimes hear doing a bumper on the show from the Silent Still. We went to a play from Pandemic Theater Company on Friday, which was kind of like a murder mystery that involved the audience. So, I mean, they had you finding clues and
going
through.
They killed an audience member?
They made it look like they did.
Oh.
Actually, they really did.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's pandemic. Like, you have no idea. Someone in the audience is totally a plant, and you have no idea. They might be sitting at the table with you. Like, no idea.
And you wouldn't know that they're potted.
No, you wouldn't know. It's funny.
Not paying attention.
Yeah, I'm just really unconscious sometimes. Anyway, it's when someone waters them, that's a dead giveaway. So, at any rate, we did that. Saturday, I did something that I should maybe make an announcement about at some point this evening. It's the kind of a thing that one of the reasons you're here, Christine.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
One of the many reasons.
Do I know
apart
the
from
reason?
Your talent? Yes,
yes,
of course you do.
Okay.
And then, and you know, Sunday I did quite a bit of work on, you know, getting ready for school and all of that, because there's a lot going on there. But I don't know. Do you think I should tell people now, or do you think we should wait?
I don't see.
There's no reason to really wait.
Yeah, you can do it now. Yeah.
All right. So some of you might have seen on social media, because I'm friends with a lot of the people who listen to the show, that said I had a big decision to make. Mm-hmm. I also said it wasn't about the show.
Right.
Right. And that's true. It might affect the show a tiny bit. A tiny bit.
Yeah.
A tiny bit. But I'm just letting everybody know. So I've been asked to consider at the time that I'd written that, to rejoin the Flying W Wranglers in Colorado Springs, which is a Western music group, been around since 1952 with various members. The head of it now is a very, very well-known Western musician, great singer, sing with the Sons of the Pioneers, Roy Rogers, all that stuff. I mean, so I'm learning a lot in that style of music. It's a great learning experience. And I had to consider a lot of different things. Doesn't mean I'm going to be leaving the school. Doesn't mean I'm leaving the show. But it means that maybe every now and then there's going to be a Friday night that I'm not going to be able to be on the show.
Yep.
The show is still going to go on.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I'm leaving the show. Doesn't mean I'm not behind the scenes of the show. But in that case, Christine and JT will still be here and we'll still do it. I just wanted to let you know, if I'm not here, it's not because I've abandoned you and just suddenly got too cool. It's that I have to dress up like a cowboy and say things like Ghost Riders in the Sky. Which is actually not a joke. Okay, so at any rate, what do you say? Should we just get into the segments?
Why not?
Yeah,
rules. All right, cool. So first thing, two rules. One, no hate speech, quote unquote, because homie don't play that. Number two, no word porn, which basically means, you know, we're not going to come out and outright censor your words, but if it starts getting gratuitous, ridiculous, we will cut it off. We hope that we can cut it off right around PG-13, because we do have kids that listen. And we want it to be accessible and not something their parents want them to turn off. We want them to be able to share things as well. But we do definitely understand censorship is kind of on the rise. It's a little strange. So we want to make sure that we're not part of that. So no word porn. That's it. So we're going to do five unique callers, and then we'll run the segment again. And this evening we will also have a Studio X and a return engagement. So now that you know, just chill out. Okay. Here we go. Segment one. Give us a call. 720-240-9766.
It's 720-240-9766.
We're at Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And welcome back to segment one. Why am I talking like this?
Oh, Lord.
No, this is actually really easy for me to speak
you
like
need
right
to,
now.
You need to stop smoking.
I know. I really went off the wagon since we started the last break.
What happened to you?
I don't know what happened to me. Like the darker side came out or something.
Ugh.
Maybe I have multiple personalities, like the movie Split.
No.
And I'm like, hey, I would love some salmon and some vegetables. And then suddenly this voice comes out and I'm like, and a gigantic cheeseburger.
That sounds more like me, myself, and Irene.
That was a fantastic movie. I was the only one who laughed at that movie. Anyway, this is not about movies. We talk a lot about movies here. By the way, Steve, I remember what movie you recommended, Patterson. And I actually did watch it after our last show that we talked, and I enjoyed it very much. By the way, Adam Driver, if you, JT, you want to see Kylo Ren throw down some poetry, it's a good movie. Really is. All right, so we have five great people lined up. However, I don't know. Should I announce who the poet of last month, or it's actually this month, is now, or should I do it at the end? Because if I do this next piece,
I think you do it now because it'll give them a month to read it as we are teasing them.
Well, I mean, do it like right now, or do it at the end of this segment is what I'm talking about.
Oh well,
do it now. Do it now.
Peer pressure. Now.
Do it live. Do it live. Okay. All right. So,
Just real quick.
I'm gonna recap.
Titus, I accidentally hung up on you, so this is my fault. It was my fault. But
user error.
I would love for you to call back on your turn. We'll just take you live, okay? Thank you.
All right.
Go for it, Mike.
Okay, cool. So, if you've been listening, we've been talking about the February 2017 Poet of the Month, and I've been giving different facts over the last few shows. Christine, you weren't here for that, but so here we go. Week one. I'm just going to recap the clues very quickly, okay? This poet always punched above their weight in romance. Number two, might have been a poet, but was obsessed with the jewels. Number three, they're so fancy that they created glamour. Now, week two, these were the JT and Titus are having a...
Just keep going. It's live. Let's go.
So week two, I got it.
I'm so sorry.
I've been doing this for a while. I got it. Okay. It's not my first night.
Were we on number two?
Week two.
week two.
You know what's awesome? Is I spend my life having to call children back to shut up so I can talk, and then I come into a studio, and guess what happened?
I'm so sorry,
No, it's okay. It's okay, buddy. Okay. So week two. Here are the three clues. One, the deputy of Selkirk. Two, the last Scottish minstrel. And three, knights in Waverly.
Ooh, I think I know who it is.
Who?
No, you got to finish.
All right, so.
I'm not allowed to give it away.
No, I'll give it away right now. Our poet of the month, February 2017, is Sir Walter Scott.
Ta-da! Oh, sorry, that echoed a little too loud.
Yeah. Sir Walter Scott, in case you didn't hear that. So that's the poet of the month. So that means, even though this is our last show for February, if you decide you wouldn't read something by them in the very first week of March, that's cool. And we're going to be having a new poet of the month that I'll start teasing that same night as well. So that was just to make up for the week we had off. Normally I would do this the episode earlier.
Right.
So now that we've gotten to that, let's get to the poets who are on the line here. Let's go to a poet that Christine has known very well. She's met him in person. We've had dinner and everything.
Yeah. A little stalkerish when you described it that way.
No, it's not like that. Like, Christine knows exactly where he lives. No. And I don't know where that accent came from either. Do you want to introduce him?
Sure. He's always around. He's from Michigan, where most of my family is from. It's Dennis.
Hello, World Poetry Open Mic, and welcome, Christine.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, and you're a great addition to the cast, and I'm going to hope to hear you very often.
Oh, thank you. I'll try and crash the party once in a while.
I enjoyed meeting you when I was in Colorado. You were a very delightful person, and you will be an asset to the show again.
Oh, well, thank you.
How are you, Dennis?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing real well now. It seemed like tonight might be a very, very snowy, treacherous night to go out, but actually it's fine now. Last night was nuts. In Colorado, we got hit by some snow.
No, more snow. Oh, boy. Yeah,
that's all right. Yeah, that's all right.
We go from 70 last Thursday to Colorado going, you can't do all seasons in 1 week? Hold my beer.
Yeah.
No. There
Let
you
me
go.
Show you.
So what did you do on your week off, Dennis?
Well, I've been organizing a poetry reading for April. I'm putting a good poetry reading with the poetry writing group I'm in. We're going to be celebrating Poetry Month in April, and I'm putting it all together from the ground up, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and it takes some work, but it's well worth it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Let us know about everything once it comes to fruition. We'd love to hear more about it.
All right. Sounds good.
So I'm going to let you take the stage, and we'll talk after, okay?
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I received a beautiful book in the mail, and it is written by Barbara Ehrentrud. And the title, you've heard it before, and you probably hear it again, because it's a wonderful book. You'll Probably Forget Me, Living With and Without Hal. And I am so impressed with this book. Just reading just the portion I have so far has made me turn and once again and believe in love and the future of love, because she has shared it so well in her book. And I would like to read a cover poem from that book by Barbara Ehrentrud. The title of the poem I'm going to share tonight is A Study of Love. Love can't be dissected. It doesn't lie there like a specimen waiting for someone to uncover its secret. The tantalizing thread it cast cannot be seen until it's too late. And then there you are in the net, caught by the gossamer delight of the thrill. No roller coaster ride can duplicate the charge that connects you to the other forever in a wild and crazy dance through the years. And you swirl with the changes as the whirlpool sucks you deeper into its vortex. End of poem.
It's a great read, Dennis. It's really cool to hear your interpretation vocally of her work.
Well, I'm sure everyone's going to read it a little bit differently, but there is so much there that people can relate to, and it comes across so well. And I'd like to thank Barbara for sharing that with me, and for sending me the book plate to compliment her lovely book. It's a very handsome publication, and anyone that's interested should check it out and get a copy of their own, because it's a wonderful book and a keepsake for my poetic library.
That's great. That's great. And I can tell by the chat room she is very, very impressed with the read, so I think it means a lot to her. Thank you very much, my friend.
Yes, and thank you so much. And perhaps I'll be back at the return engagement.
Hey, we hope so.
I'll try to dig something out if I can stay awake that long.
Yeah, us too. Us too. We're working on it.
All right. Thanks again, and God bless you all.
Bless you, Dennis. All right, and that was Dennis calling all the way from the Mitten State.
State. You know, I have never asked my father how he feels about it being called that. I know I'm probably going to get a text.
You know, that's fair. You know, we've been doing it for a long time, and I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't have a dog in this mitten, per se. It's more, it's just something we've done for a while. Now, I do start coming up with start finding really weird state nicknames to introduce people. But basically, when we're talking about Florida, where Diane is,
uh-huh.
I basically just refer to it as the sweaty thing on the bottom of the country that we think with. Diane, welcome to the show.
Maybe.
Diane.
Uh-oh. Hello.
Oh,
Diane.
Oh. I'm here. Oops, sorry.
Hello, Diane. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you all tonight?
I'm doing well.
And Christine?
Hello.
Is it Christine?
Yes, Christine's here too. Yes.
Hi, Christine. It's nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Now, Christine keeps us in line. She is JT's wife.
Oh,
and,
lovely.
And kind of my surrogate big sister.
Yeah. I don't know why I think that. Well, I'm glad to hear somebody's keeping y'all in line.
Oh,
I'm glad, too.
We need it. So, Diane, what about you? What did you do on the week off from the show?
Wow. Oh, I didn't go out with the boyfriend.
Okay.
Well, actually, I did, and that didn't go so well either. So we're kind of rethinking the relationship. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I think something's going on with him, and it's something we need to sit down and talk about, but it's not something I should be hearing on a world poetry.
Oh, no, no, fair, no, fair enough. Yeah, we're not asking for that. That's okay.
All right. I'll write it
No, down. We don't want to know. We do have another show that's all about airing this kind of laundry.
Called Dirty Laundry. Open mic.
It just happens to be starting right now on this show. No, okay. I'm kidding, Diane. Go ahead.
I have a poem to share. It is a little bit long, and I do apologize for that.
I've said that so many times.
Okay. This is one that I have been wanting to write for a long, long time. It concerns something that happened in Africa. And it was weird. This past week in the garden, I was actually writing a poem like maybe an hour before we were supposed to publish. And for some reason, this all just kind of came together for me. So anyway, here it is.
Okay.
It's called A Heartbeat's Wake. It was a very small coffin that she buried the child in. Not quite stillborn, he only lived a few hours, her son. The one who was supposed to cure what ailed her, according to her Sangoma. I met my first African friend the second week after I arrived in Durban. Tall, dark, with beautiful, luminous brown eyes, her hair covered in a maid's kerchief. Her first reaction to my presence was a suspicious chagrin. The new madam, who did not leave her alone, but kept trying to find ways to improve her life and improve her family's life. Teresa was Xhosa and lovely, tall, slender, except for the left foot, which ended in a club, with a thickened ankle that caused her to hobble wherever she went. Teresa did more in a day than most American housewives will do in a month, and it was my privilege to know her, to learn from her, the first baby steps I would learn in Africa. South Africa was emerging from the darkness of the apartheid years with a joy de vivre that I've found nowhere else. The Rainbow Nation shedding the dark, emerging into the light that Madiba would set the example for. Teresa had two small children, little girls who came to stay on the weekend, brought by their devoted uncle. Teresa lived in a small downstairs apartment, furnished, and the work she did was unparalleled. Teresa had gone to a Sangoma, a witch doctor, to request help with the problem that her foot and hip caused her. And upon the Sangoma's suggestion, she had become pregnant. The Sangoma had told her that the gift of another child would help to solve her physical problems. But with the gift of her child, Teresa received another gift, a deadly one, one that first took her child and eventually would take her. HIV, which at the time that I lived in South Africa, President Mbeki allowed no antiretrovirals into the country, the lack of which would guarantee a death sentence and a slow descent into AIDS. I learned a lot looking at the world through Teresa's beautiful, beguiling eyes. I learned to act like a proper madame, even when I did not wish to do so. I learned how to care for other cultures, even when they impinged my beliefs. But mostly I learned that the care we give to others when they have nothing left to give or to live for can make the greatest difference in a heart that will soon know heaven. I took lovely Teresa to many doctors in Africa. As my mother-in-law told me, the women look out for each other here. The doctors were not allowed to tell me what the problem was, but they didn't have to do so. I knew the signs. After 3 months and many hospitalizations, Teresa died at home. I wept and kissed her forehead and served her large family when they came to remove her body to celebrate her death as only can be done in Africa. At night, when I dream of Africa and relive the beauty, the wonders, and the horrors I experienced there, I'll sometimes hear drums, and at times their heartbeat will become the cadence of a lovely girl child lost somewhere in the radiance of her own being. I will see the beauty in her smile, her eyes open in wonder and surprise at some of the more modern things I introduced her to, the love and satisfaction when her children met Father Christmas. And then in chagrin, I will remember the small, sad bundle she now lies beside. Today, I will raise a cup to Teresa. I will dream that where she is now, she is whole and strong, and the heartbeat she bears will carry love wherever she goes, as proudly as she once walked while living, limping from a club foot that in the end cost her life, and in many ways too numerous to mention, saved mine.
That was a powerful piece, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's why it was so surprising, because it was one of those that just suddenly just wrote itself. And it's like I had been trying for years to get this out, and it was just like there.
Do you think was there any catalyst, or it just suddenly finally had finished percolating?
No, I was actually the person who chose the prompts for this past week, so I just felt like I had to produce something, and I kept playing around with different words, and I think I had come up with like 7 different poems. None of them were matched, and then all of a sudden, I started out with that first sentence, and all of a sudden it was there. It was like, this is Teresa's poem, and it just flowed.
That's great. That's great when I love when things come together that way, you know?
I know. It's amazing how sometimes they just, it's almost like they write themselves.
I absolutely understand what you mean.
But thank you all for listening and letting me,
of course,
letting me read that.
Of course, Diane. Thank you.
God bless you all.
Bless you too. We'll
and
talk to you soon.
And I'll look forward to the return engagement.
Now that
I've gotten everybody down.
Yeah, that's it. Way to depress everyone, Diane. Man.
No, that's it. We're done.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to call up the other radio show now.
I see how it goes.
That's the dirty laundry one.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, we're all about the dirty laundry show. I think we're just starting that. Dirty laundry with Michael, JT, and Christine.
Oh, Lord.
And I'll do the entire show in this voice.
No.
And then right before I intro, I'll be like, Diane said she's having some trouble with her boyfriend. Maybe she'll tell us about it. We do you, Diane.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. All right. Oh. All right, Diane, I'm done.
Thank you, Diane. All right.
We'll talk to you in the return engagement.
All right, God bless you guys.
Bless you, too.
Bye.
All right.
This is Tommy. He says he's having some problem with his foot doctor. What is it, Tommy?
And the wheel just went off.
No, they were never on in the first place.
But we have.
I was trying to put the wheels on.
No, it doesn't work. Yeah, not while it's moving.
No, it was stopped because it was before the show.
Oh,
I put the wheels on.
Oh, this has been going for years. There's a momentum here. All right, so let's head to the state where it all began.
where it all began?
It. New York. Let's go to Steve, the voice of evil himself. Hello, how are you?
Christine?
Yes, dear.
Save yourself, Bambi. The forest is on fire.
That's it. There's a great thing, though, where Christine is taking notes here, and with her, I'm so not used to it. It's moving my microphone and scratching my nose. You're already, it's just a major benefit.
So you were saying that when there is a woman in the studio, the only thing she's good for is scratching your nose.
No, I'm saying she
is
can...
Is that what you're saying? It sounds like that's what you're saying.
No, it's not what I'm saying.
You're setting up a hostile work environment, and the Christine might need to speak with an attorney.
That's true. But let me ask, may I respond? Because
No, you asked if you could. I said no.
So here's my response.
There's your response.
By the way, we could have used you in New York this week.
I
don't know if it made the national news, but a steer at a slaughterhouse in Queens escaped and went running down Jamaica Avenue in Queens until the NYPD finally gunned it down.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Did you? Wow.
We could have used a cowboy.
You know, that's the thing. We're useful.
I want to be a cowboy.
And, Michael, you could have stood on the corner of Supton Boulevard and Jamaica Avenue singing something along the lines of, Yippee-yi-yo, yippee-yi-yay.
You know what, Steve? It's absolutely it.
Stride is in the sky.
You know what? Hell with it, Steve. I'm going to do that during Studio X tonight. I'll do that song.
Oh,
you caught on that was a request. Well done.
Sometimes I'm slightly fast.
But you're talking about your lines with women again.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Man.
So, by the way,
the other wheel.
By the way, Steve, I saw Patterson, and I actually really did enjoy
it. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I really, the first time I'd seen Adam Driver was in the Star Wars movie that came out, and you know that's a big franchise thing. I really liked he had a lot of subtlety in that film as well. I thought it was great as a movie about a poet.
It's the type of thing where I think the people who call in and the people who listen to this show will love it.
Mm-hmm.
My
agree.
Wife at the end of the film said to me, "You owe me one."
Yeah.
Whoa.
I agree. I agree. I think everybody who listens to the show and who participates in the show would really benefit from the movie. I think they'd enjoy it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, and congratulations on your news.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll actually get some recordings and I'll send you some stuff because I know you might enjoy it. But it's some quality people.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
With that. Christine is supposed to be saying at some point, this is a poetry show, get to the poetry.
I already tried, and he like threatened me with duct tape.
Hostile
work environment, you need to speak with an attorney.
Yeah, but ducks, I mean, who doesn't like ducks? It's not that hostile, it's just ducks.
I don't know, they can get pretty hostile.
What have you got
it's
for us, Steve?
Not Donald.
Oh, Lord.
Duck season, wabbit season, duck season, wabbit season. Anyway, stop me before I joke again. Actually, this is good that we're doing the joking because after the really, really powerful, powerful piece that Diane just did,
yeah,
I was put in a bad position having a follower. And then if I have Titus coming after me, I'm in an even worse position because I'm like a parking garage between the Twin Towers.
I'm not touching that one.
Good. Anyway, this piece is currently untitled, although I was thinking of What Evil Lurks in the Hearts of Men.
Yes, the shadow.
My faithless shadow abandons me at the dying of the sun after echoing my every move throughout the burning day. Sometimes cowering at my feet, prepared to trip me, at others hovering over my shoulder, an avenging angel of judgment. It remains a mute witness to every deed and thought, a constant uninvited companion, even in my solitude. Yet at night it flees, afraid of the darkness where my sins are easier to hide, and the wolf within arises. End of poem. Thank you for being polite.
No, you might have had a difficult position to fill on the lineup here, but I think you did it very, very well and with a lot of grace and a lot of you know ability. So thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you so much, and again, thank you for everything you guys do for us each and every week. And Christine, good luck trying to keep the wheels on for the remainder of the show.
It's a hard job.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, dear.
Thank you, Steve. And that was Steve calling all the way from New York.
New York.
No, that's not the name of the place, because if I say that, it's going to always stay that way at the back of my head, and I can't let that happen. Now, meanwhile, speaking of good decisions, let's go to Kentucky to visit Philip. Now, if you're laughing, that's your own damn fault. That was a good intro. That was a nice intro.
It was a great intro.
How are you?
Hey, man, I'll take any intro. So
anything that happens.
Thing is a bad one. What are you talking about?
Yes, that's what
I'm
thinking.
By the way, just let me just go ahead and get it out of the way and compliment you on bringing a bouquet into the sausage fest. It is just a delight, sir.
You know, yeah, so, that's what we're looking. We're looking for a slight waft of lily in the midst
I know,
of the sausage.
Right?
Yes.
It's been getting sweaty in this place, man.
Yeah.
You know? Someone bring some talcum powder. Yeah.
Right?
You know?
We need that feminine touch. So welcome, Christine. Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. I don't know how well I'm going to be able to fan this.
You'll be. It's unfannable. But you know,
compared to these other two jokers, you're going to be fine, girl. You're already doing good.
Yeah,
you're part of the gang now. Besides, Michael's leaving us.
I know. It's like
Michael,
it's like a 4-year-old trying to guilt his dad for going to work.
Stay,
watch movies with me.
Michael.
Well, here's the thing.
It really sounds exciting. Yeah. I didn't really catch all of what that means, but it sounds like you're going to maybe get a chance to tour with some groovy dudes that are really musically inclined. Is that what I'm understanding? You're going to be on stage with them?
No, I'd be performing. There might be a couple times where we kind of leave the state and head up. There's a lot of performances we do in the immediate area. But it's a full performing group that has a lot of pedigree and some really, really some great players. And it'll be a lot of fun. But, you know, some nights it's going to be that we'll have a show Friday. Now, and I won't be able to be here. And so this is one of the reasons that Christine is here, is to make sure that we have enough going on that the show will still go on, even if I'm not here. But I'll be back as soon as I can, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's wonderful. And, I really appreciate you looking out for us, and it's great to have Christine on the show, and wonderful. And with that, quick hello and so forth, I'll get right to it. So these next better poets can get up and do their thing on the mic, man. So I'll just get right to it.
All right.
Here's my... Yes, sir? What?
Well, I just said all right. I said all right, all right, all right.
You dang well better say all right, or I'll thumb wrestle you later. You're in trouble.
Is that a promise, Philip? No, okay. No, go ahead.
I demand respect.
You flirt. All right.
You bow down.
Boys.
Here we go. I try to wipe the smile off my face. I'll mess up my pronunciation, which is already messed up, but here we go. Unsolicited advice during the age of naysayer snobs and the cruelly unimaginative. And here we go. First, get an undergraduate degree from any ramshackle misfit quarters. Lodge among disorderly personas askew and perspectives brazenly imbalanced. Course studies with derelict artists and unemployed poets who murder Bacchus nightly. Raise their cups yet again, uproariously at hungover dawn, for another round of resurrection. Gangrene magnum cum laude, with a major in the human condition. Wrap up in rugged notebooks filled with the exotic and mundane, fatuously hoping for tomorrow's posterity, made via ambivalent egos whose facile promises are often disregarded and frequently broken. Learn how spoon slosh waves keep time steady as a metronome, where timid J. Alfred Prufrock roamed with his white trousers rolled. For every lonesome hour entombed beneath the tutelage of dead voice libraries, echoing styles vaunted and sublime, seek wisdom in the streets, determined as an apostle, wiping mundane dust from meager feet, balanced precariously upon unorthodox meters. Become familiar with decadence, ennui, angst, and onomie, visceral terms learned through harsh experience. Forget childhood's pleasant dinner time dusk and schedules that promote quotidian progress. Dance atop peaks of mysticism and dream when you cannot. Speak softly as solemn stones communing with the sun. Question omniscience until fear and trembling become real side effects of holy awareness. Luminous thought housed in decay. Stay attentive to the light slanted across eternal silence from which you will write and return unceasingly unto your conclusion. And there it is, my friends.
pronunciations as crisp and soft as a baby's bottom. Wonderful, Philip.
You have not seen a baby's bottom. They're not crisp.
You know, I don't spend time doing that kind of thing. Of
well,
course
I just
not.
Hope somebody squeezes my cheek. Please, yeah. Just
see?
Squeeze it.
Is that we know?
Uh-huh.
See, someone says I have skin like a baby's bottom, and so I look at that person's skin and go, that's what a baby's bottom must be like.
Uh-huh.
I'm
no
just
comment.
Happy I just resemble all these remarks. That's just... just love it. A baby with a cigar in its blank.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That's more my speed.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to the return engagement. So cheers.
Hey, cheers, Philip, as do we. Thanks so much.
All right.
And that was Philip all the way from Kentucky. Don't blame him for it. Now.
I love it.
So now we're going to be heading across the Atlantic.
The pond.
The pond, as they say. To visit with...
two countries that are separated by one language.
And water.
That too.
And maybe some sharks.
It's going to catch up here, I promise. There it is.
Let's welcome Titus. Titus, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, loud and clear.
All right. Yes, you sound great.
Yes,
how are you?
Yes, not too bad, thanks. Skype has been threatening to update, and I say no.
trust us, we know that all too well also, so yes. we sympathize.
Yes, thank you, Christine, for I can hear you in the background. I'm not acquainted with you, but welcome anyway.
Well, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Yes, and you too. I'll get straight into it. This poem's called Most Sacred of Possessions. It hides... people who are close to me, like all my poems, so it's quite a personal thing. It's called Most Sacred of Possessions. Myriads of life, angels who know for reasons allure themselves exhibits. Those they choose uplift us when we're down, thus dare not lose renown for all these years I'll call the seasons. Each are given the close acquaintance. Unique empathy, their love, the care, airs, and attention nurtured by happiness, theirs I shall mention. Sometimes the promise of things despair me. Maybe it's prohibited. The secrets that we find inspire us to create more, a love for it is blind, to remind ourselves that absence and misery happen to be the elusive finds I cannot speak of. Nature convinces me how changeable we are. Attraction also contributes to a worthy notice too. Distraction, the internal beauty, the lotus, as sacred as a lotus, they say, a precious far, survey the message, precious instinct to others, helps us to select the best that bias uncovers, accepts the preference theirs of course does, moved are we by those who are moved by heart, unabashed by love's sophistication, as the soul brings us close, the trust in harmony, our whole acclaim to quantify love, the understanding art, suggests we are empowered by your willingness. Humbly, you achieve this and the most gracious exemplary, a treasure. To in being it is subtleness reviving others, that duty becomes as vivacious. Kind and caring, it is without thought to do so, including frivolity, the overwhelming pleasure, now includes the rest, a turn of phrase to apply zeal. When needing to get real, it is your treasure. Among the finest traits, we'll find that measure. Moon on rising, the nearest to pursue it, I see. Unfathomed, feels as unknown, has chosen God before all else. It shows importance that we prod against, well, patience. A youth shall remain free. Soothing might quintessentially become our flight. Hails the beginning, a following of faith, wisdom. Entice yourself to judge free from bias. We might remember how close we are to this love kingdom. Mindful how magnificent our thoughts on caring opens the mind, the homily to address discourse. Tentatively our suspicion find a love source. Honesty constitutes an ascent and always sharing inconspicuously is without knowing to endorse. Chivalry, this considered charm of yours you own, heralds a new beginning, a time that is succinct as all beginnings, the fruit to your labor distinct, nirvana, a clear outlook, when reverence is shown directly to create clearly just where we are going. Awareness is a virtue, for our goodness lies within reason. We accept the regal attributes bestowing. Jubilant Astrama, its supporting role will exclaim originality. The creation of traits are given persona. Susceptible of truth, let opulence show its corona enthuses. A love being temperate enough, the same polymaths. One intriguing new idea about the truth. High spirits. The emphasis on height in which arise, imagine this delight. Our love towards it, comprised, non-resistant to imagine, with its freedom to soothe. Environmental study tells me joy retains that youth. Value the friendship, which are aimed at tendency, each worth their own. We term this denomination literally like prayer, to think of others' dependency. Loyalty then to keep compassion safe, let creation absolve spilling the comfort we angels find willing. Diligence, this understanding of nature to subside elaborate theories. To heal is a worthwhile subject by listening. I feel it has the most beautiful dialect becoming real. The virtual theory love shall divide indiscriminately, or are they but who are close enough to part of me to describe a way of thought. Awareness of love purely by this gift. Liaisons are held by the same denote all passions are. Touch has a feel of grace between us and our star, invigorates intensity about us. Our past is given a lift, perhaps for all eternity. The mention of you becomes autonomous, a glow, holds the significant splendor, relatively distant, but near enough as pleasant hums, melodic phrase, the passing of the waves as we meander, adapting to change, it's a love we hold and cherish. Re-establish thinking as to why you hear those drums. Keep to yourself within this beautiful poem of ours. It includes just six of us, but there's some space for all. Silence shall fill the time, and our love shall share the hours. And that's the complete. Sorry, it went on a little bit.
No, it's just fine. It's as we've come to expect, it's heartfelt and very literate and very, very well done and very well read. Thank you, Titus.
Thank you. I'm with the books that I'm trying to, trying to actually give easy reading to. I've got some poems which are really, I've got so many difficult words in. I think I try to avoid those, putting them in, you know.
Sure, I can understand. Well, this was, I thought this was wonderful. Anybody else? What do you guys think?
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That was really good. I enjoyed it.
Titus, thanks so much. Are you going to be calling during the return engagement?
Let's see. I'm just holding it at the moment.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's nearly 4 a.m. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's got to be late out or early.
Early. It's 4, yeah.
Well, do what you can, but we understand either way. We'd always love to have you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you. And that was Titus calling all the way from the U.K.
The U.K.
That is how I say it. The UK. But you don't like me saying it that way?
No.
Well, you got to give it to her. She is kind of honest about it.
I guess don't ask the question if you don't want the answer.
There it is.
All right, so that does our first segment. That finishes it. I'm not talking about the poet of the month. I already did that. So.
Yeah, but you see this little word right here?
Yeah, submission.
Did we have any?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then that would be why.
No one submitted anything.
All right.
Which is why I did not read a submission.
Fine. I'm just kidding. Oh,
sometimes I'm kind of fast. All right. We're just getting ready to head
in. When will that be?
I don't know. I'm working up. I'm building up to it for the last 36 years. Here we go. Second segment. We need 5 more unique callers. 720-240-9766.
It's 720-240-9766. We're waiting.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
And now your moment in poetry history.
I am just a gigolo. And everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance. Selling each romance. Oh, and they're saying, there will come a day when youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know. They was just the gigolos. Life goes on without me.
And that was your moment in poetry history?
So sexy. Every time I hear this, it puts me in the mood, you know, at the melancholy mood.
Melancholy?
I am just a gigolo. When I introduce myself this way, especially at the Catholic school where I teach, I always get looked at in such a funny way.
I wouldn't know
What name do you go by when you do it?
Michael.
Actually, wow. I should have
been Travis.
Travis.
Nothing against any Travises out there.
No.
All right.
Just a ridiculous combo of...
you know. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yes, exactly.
It's fun stuff.
All right, so we're back here. We're in segment dose, and we have three callers. It was kind of a slow night tonight.
That's okay.
But, yeah, whatever.
All right.
All right, so we're going to go first to a place some people call Missouri, but I think he sounds pretty happy. Let's go to Sinister. Sinister, how are you, sir?
Exhausted. How you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. We're not quite exhausted.
Hold on. Let me turn that down. I'm sorry.
I've been all day
trying to build a new vanity, rearrange the bathroom for my wife. So.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, how about this, man? I'll give you the stage. You read, and we'll talk after. Sound good?
Once I can get that down. Yeah. All right. This is my latest piece called "Digressions on Primal Relays." Torrential downpour, serrating moments, passing sands. Raining corrosive disinsanity, rebirth, cutting teeth. Such afflictions jarringly impose upon fractals, guised, trespassing my conscience into mirrored evaluation where inertia equals demise. Extension stretched over now, subjected upon strain, catastrophic vertigo mortars the granite core. Proportionate tiny nuances that don't escape home. Strewn scrapbook pieces depicted in shrill tantrums, infallible, loathsome dealings. Stuffed like redwoods down this dry-adhered, eccentrically resilient, I'm expelling nuclear ponderings. Such fallout, what silence the rising sun's bountiful seas. Rancid in toxicity, my natural reaction, but a sneeze. God is Rome. Serpent's adder is willowed branches of Lamister deceit. Blossoming under insolent fruitings, lined up relentlessly. Comfort is reverberating echoes of brash commonality. These incursions know little of privacy, holler longingly. Devotion exaggerates humanity. Let my corpse offer sacrifice under buzzards of the sun. Squirming pestilent are inklings of biblical rhymes spun. Languishing in fried pans where west over east calm. Ravished, frantic, genocide, extinguishing vivid natural states. Drained universal freight. Express strategic sensuality across boards of fancy. A frivolous tit. One engorged to nurture my fretted banality. Wisdom must condone trivial obscurity under red skies. Jaundice will infect reason's eye and polarize low tides. Vast oceans mimic. The gravity of lesser ranks is to find alter void grains. Lopsided monotony comes road for chance earthquakes. Dimly lit, free of short wattage, birth on daily nefarious bright, poses quieted carnal blessings weekly through absent gray. Existential intimacy, foreplay. Whimsical tunes followed very hues, neatly aggravated pastel ions. Embrace earnestly that which gravitates outside dreary sepultures. Once radiant and coerced power divided among stout wills. Guarantee not, but weak fascination tied and stories better for life. Experience shortened breath and accolades. Matter from that, you unsung. Radular incantations of cadence billowed half-heartedly on parricide. Coming on, I find flickers free, maturity such benevolence holds, paralyzed navigation into a realm few have found in returning home. In peace.
It's an intense read, once again, something we've always come to expect from you, man.
Thanks, man. This is DBNT. Full throttle.
Enjoyed it, man. Enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Are you going to be calling back during the return engagement?
I'll see what I can do. I'm surprised if I can stay awake.
If you can't, man, it's all right to fall asleep. We get it.
As long as I fall asleep on the phone right before, we'll be good.
Yeah. All right, man. All right. Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk to you later. And that was Sinister calling all the way from Missouri. And now is a moment we've all been waiting for.
It is?
Yes. We're calling what is widely known as the sexiest state in the entire world. Yes. Of all the states in the world, in different countries, this is the sexiest. Connecticut. I'll just wait. And Barbara, how are you? See, it even makes people in Connecticut laugh. I mean, that's the best part.
It's a Connecticut laugh.
It's a Connecticut laugh.
Maybe the sexiest SUVs.
Hey, we've got a few of them here too. We're...
No, you've got Mercedes and Escalades.
Yeah. Those are pretty sexy cars to me. I don't know about you. I mean, hey.
Jeep.
Land Rovers.
Very true. How are you, Barbara?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
I had my program yesterday, and it was great. I interviewed my friend Amy, who has got this... awesome movie that she's putting in festivals that's about the run-up to Standing Rock and what the oil companies did, what the tribes did, and how it all came about. And just really, great. And she has another short movie called Broken. And I was... interviewing this author that I met at a conference, Susan Strecker, whose books are also awesome, Night Blindness and Nowhere Girl. Either one are great. So I had a very nice show, and, I've been on the radio this week. And I'm sorry, Sinister, I didn't get to your show, but... I on weeks when I have my show, it's just, hard.
Yeah, I can tell. I mean, it was really hard. It was so hard last week, we didn't even make our show. So,
it's true.
I got to say.
You had a vacation.
Yeah, that's what we called it. No, it was good. It's always strange taking a week off, though, because when you start doing it on a almost nearly every week basis, it becomes just such a normal part of what you do. It doesn't even occur to you that it's,
Yeah. Well, and also I want to really, really thank Dennis, who just like gobsmacked me. I had just gotten on and I hear my poem being read and all that beautiful stuff about my book. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay him. You know that.
You didn't? Barbara,
no.
I thought you paid people for this stuff. Damn it. You got to understand, that was part of my income supplement plan for this next year. I was going to be like, Barbara, I will read one of your poems every day.
Like I couldn't pay a person at all.
Oh, well, okay, never mind.
No, I'm totally broke. I'm going.
Well, that's all right. I'll go to Plan Z.
Fixed income. Yeah, so I was like overwhelmed by that beautiful reading of my poem. And so I'm going to read the poem that I wrote for this week, which was where is it now? My goodness. Okay. Which is unusual for me because it's in a male point of view. So being in a male point of view is not something that I usually write. So And so I did that, and the prompts were Beguiling Grimace. So this is where the words brought me. A friend of mine does that all the time. She says, this is where the words whirl me. So I'm using my friend Pearl's words to say, this is where the words whirled me. Okay. So here it is. It's called Waiting for the One. The man had a grimace on his face from years of being misled by pretty faces in tight-fitting satin dresses who used their wares to lure him into a sea of despair. Loving at first like soft kittens, and then they would turn and show their claws when the game turned real, and he no longer felt the ardor he once had for their filth and sensuous bodies. So he waited on the sidelines as women passed him by, dressed in curve-hugging dresses that would ordinarily have the power to bring him to his knees. But not tonight, for he had made a pact with himself that he would not be swayed by the tight backside swinging as they moved. No, tonight he had other plans. So he sipped his diluted drink, not wanting to get drunk, keeping his senses alive and waiting. If necessary, he would wait all night, ignoring the obvious choices until the right one came into his eye range. He would know her because he would see her face first and not look at the body until afterward. The face would entrance him. The eyes would beguile him with their innocence and their candor. She would be the one he had dreamed of for so long. And he told himself her shape wouldn't matter, for he was looking for more than just a tumble tonight. His life had no meaning, and though he came here each week, he never found the one who would enrich it, who would see him for who he was and accept his foibles, the woman whose heart he could see in her eyes. And this was the night he would find her. So he waited and sipped and watched from the sidelines at the parade of hotties passing him by. Getting to the end of his drink, he was sure this wasn't the night when out of the corner of his eye he spied her, not wearing one of those hot satin dresses, and standing alone with the light of the bar, brushing her body, creating a purple hue, surrounding her in a haze as if in a dream. She turned and glanced in his direction. He was hit by starlight as he saw her eyes. The eyes of the girl for whom he searched. The beam shot through him, and he felt wounded by the power of those orbs. He definitely flinched as they hit him. With purpose, he walked over to her, intent on meeting this one with the champagne eyes who had lured him. He knew she had the power to beguile him every minute of his life. And as he crossed to meet this angel, another man passed in front of him. Turning to see this man, she smiled. A smile could have lit the bar. This man grabbed and kissed her. You came, he said. Yes, my darling, the girl answered. I was lonely. They embraced again and wandered off into the dark of the back of the bar. The man wanted to smash his drink on the floor, but instead he took the last sip and got another, returned to his place on the sidelines. And when the next hottie came along, he spoke to her. Her eyes were dark and lifeless, but he didn't care. With a grimace, he stared into the darkness. No, tonight wasn't the night after all. End poem.
Very nice, Barbara. I thought that was interesting to play around with the kind of like the gender role of the voice speaking.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I enjoyed being a man that way. Kind of.
I would hate to go out too far on a limb, but I would say that that's probably not the full experience. But I'm glad that you enjoyed the close, the proximity of that thought process.
Well, I'm not a man.
Oh, you sure? No, oh, come on, Barbara. We've known each other a while now. I think I know that.
So I only had a glimpse into the way men think, and I kind of got it because like a few of my friends, my male friends, told me that it affected them. So one in particular said it really affected him. So, you know, it showed how, you know, how callous life can be, and, you know, just really great. And Dennis, I want to tell Dennis I want to read one of his poems, but I don't know which one he wants me to read. So if you want to let me know in the chat room, I would be happy to read one of your poems. So thank you, guys. And like I said, we get through.
Thank you, Barbara. Much appreciated.
I missed the part about you going on tour, though.
Well, I didn't say I was going to go on tour, but I'll you know what? We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it maybe during the return engagement. Sound good?
Okay, good.
Okay, cool.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Barbara.
All right. See you in the return.
We'll see you then. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Barbara all the way from Connecticut, the sexiest state in the union.
Yeah, Colorado's just the squarest.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Wyoming kind of fights us a little bit for that.
A little.
We have a few square states.
Yeah, we got a few square people, too. It's like Star Trek down here. All right, anyway.
What?
Well, no, I mean, Connecticut, the sexiest state in the union, isn't that on its flag?
Maybe.
It's on its flag?
That'd be amazing. Connecticut.
Just words.
The old sexiest state in the union.
As it's flapping in the wind.
Oh, boy. All right. Oh. All right. Let's go to the second sexiest state in the union, Pennsylvania, to talk to Jim. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
All right. I'm glad. How'd you spend the week off?
Oh, my week off? Trying to clean and stuff.
Trying to clean. So when you say the words trying to clean, I'm wondering how effective that really went. How did it go?
How'd it go, Danielle? Are you talking a week off from the show? Or?
Yes, week off from the show. Yeah, I didn't know you had a...
Oh, no, I thought you... Okay. Apparently last Monday, this past Thursday, mm-hmm. I got put on a leave of absence.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Until I'm medically cleared to come back.
Oh, you know what? You did mention that on the show. That's right, 2 weeks ago. How's everything going?
Oh, no, that was something different. That was just having a cold.
Okay.
I had an incident last Monday, which kind of precipitated it. Because I have sleep apnea.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's, according to the specialist, it's pretty bad.
Okay.
So it's Monday I was working, and... I found myself laid on the ground because apparently I fell asleep and fell down.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yes, not okay. Good.
So, Jim, just so you know, before any outbursts happen, Christine is a nurse and is incredibly passionate about her job. So if she starts just suddenly interjecting things, that's probably why.
Well, the good news is I have my sleep study Sunday night. And they're doing a split one, so it's like they'll diagnose, they'll see how bad it is, you know, observe me, and then they're going to put me on a CPAP machine to try and get the thing calibrated all in one night instead of doing one and then coming back later to do the other part.
So Jim, just so you know, if you don't have a CPAP machine, you're going to love it.
Yeah, you're going to have
that's what everyone's
so
telling
much
me.
Energy.
You'll be so awake. You'll be like, oh my God. Everything is so green.
So, I mean, basically what it sounds like is that just the fact that that happened is wow. Nuts as it was, you might have just saved your life there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because I think part of my hyperactivity has actually helped keep me as alert as I have been.
Uh-huh.
But I think Danielle's kind of scared of how much more I'll be. Once I start getting air to my head.
He gets a good night's sleep, Danielle, then you're going to wake up and he's going to be running around in circles, slapping the water in the aquarium with the fly swatter. Just
actually, he may actually calm down a little bit.
Yep.
He probably will actually calm down, yeah.
Yeah, she's allowed to beat the crap out of me to keep me awake on Sunday. So it's like, okay, you can make him unconscious so he's awake for the sleep study.
Yeah, that sounds good. Domestic violence usually is the best thing in these kind of situations. All right, Jim. I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after. What do you got for us?
Well, it's one I just wrote, and it's about the whole thing that's happened. It's called The Gods Asleep. The gods asleep come every night, breathless, unable to give him rest. And returning to him in the morn, he lays upon his vertical bed. A hand up for the fallen, whom gravity has used its power on. And there among the forklifts, that are no respecter of palace and people, leaves him lying upon the concrete floor. End of poem.
All right. Jim, thanks a lot, man.
That's actually happened. I fall asleep standing up, and I was like, how does he do that?
That had to be really trippy. Like, have you been doing that for a while, or is that pretty new?
It just got diagnosed, an unofficial diagnosis, late last year. But apparently this has been going on. Looking back, this has been going on for a few years. I'll be in Sunday school, I'll fall asleep. Yeah. And then I wake up.
Well, I don't blame you for the Sunday school thing.
And I fall asleep. I sit on the couch. I fall asleep. Oof. And then when you start falling asleep standing up, I've had instances at some of the meetings at work where apparently I've fallen asleep, but I thought I was awake the whole time.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're getting it handled, man. I really am. That's good news.
Yes, the doctor kind of let me know how serious it really is, because I could end up falling asleep and not waking up again.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could end up with a nice case of death.
Yeah, and that would just that would be the end of everything.
Yeah, can you think about it as like as a poet, as an artist, you know, if you have any control over it, what a silly way to die if you can handle it correctly, right? And so I'm really glad you're jumping on it.
Definitely. I can't wait to see.
Yeah.
You'll drop your blood pressure. You will. Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah, because it's kind of high. They don't know if it's.
Yep. You'll get on a CPAP after about, I don't know, a few months or so. Give yourself a time to get used to the mask, because you will fight it for a little while. But yeah, you'll actually drop your blood pressure. You'll have more. You'll have different type of energy. Yeah. Colors, you won't realize how muted the colors around you are right now until you wake up with a good night.
And Jim, just a little side note, if you realize that when you're on your CPAP, once you've gotten used to your mask, when you dream, you wake up, you're going to go, oh my goodness, all of my previous dreams have been so bland. They will be so vibrant.
I can remember my dreams.
Yeah, you'll start remembering them.
Yep.
Once you get some sleep going, you're gonna remember your dreams. It's gonna be it's a totally different world. Trust me.
Yeah. Basically, he's trying to say, so Jim, nice. Oh. It's a whole new world.
Well, the one thing I'm hoping is I can get cleared to go back within a week or so, because.
Yeah,
I can't afford to be away from work. Even
that's got to be a nightmare. Yeah, absolutely. That's got to be like really kind of disturbing. Yeah,
because I'm a fiscal moron, so it's like I'm basically living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm. Well, I understand, so, man. I'm glad you're getting it handled. It's going to save a lot more than just the money stuff.
Yeah,
and we look forward to seeing what your work starts to look like after you start getting some rest, man.
Yeah, Danielle won't have to get a cattle prod.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, unless you guys are into that kind of thing, and I'm not going to judge.
Whoa.
50 Shades of Cattle.
No, she's sitting next to me in church. She's like, wake up. It's only the sermon.
In church with a cattle prod, huh? All right, just add some ankle bracelets, and you're for what I've done.
Stop.
Hey, Jim, thanks so much.
This is a poetry show.
We'll talk to you during the return engagement, buddy.
Okay.
All right, bye. Thank you. And that was Jim, all the way from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania.
Wrong place, Cal.
Knew that was going there.
No, he could be in Pennsylvania.
No, he's not from Pennsylvania.
He could count slowly, 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 getting faster.
Oh, you know, Lord.
That's a good song.
I love that song.
It's a great song. All right. Hey, guys, you want to travel to a mysterious place?
A whole new
by the way, I totally do that. When I'm on the street, I'll just lean over to two people and be like, hey, guys, would you like to travel with me to a mysterious place of wonder? What do they call it? Studio X. But it's not Studio X. It's just me and a guitar at the moment.
Yeah.
All right. So I have a couple songs I want to do, but this one I'm just going to do for Steve. What do you think?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. See how it goes. JT, can you do the sound like a cowboy does with this? Yeah! Can you do that if I hit this? If I go. Yeah! Perfect. An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. And all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, bowing through the ragged sky, and up the cloudy draw. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo. Ghost riders in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their hooves were black and shiny and their hot breath you could feel. A bolt of fear went through them as they thundered through the sky. He saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yay. Their eyes were blurred, their shirts all soaked with sweat. Riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught him yet. Cause they gotta ride forever with that range up in the sky. Voices wouldn't fire as they ride on, hear their cry. Yippee-yi-yay. Riders in the sky. Some riders loped on by and he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell or riding on a rain, then cowboy, change your ways today or with this you will ride. Trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo. Ghost riders in the sky. Yippee-yi-yay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. What do you have?
Just a real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Aside from the chat room enjoying it, Steve already put up his next request.
What's that?
It's something you'll probably have to learn, but the theme from Have Gun Will Travel.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll have to look up which one that is.
Yeah.
All right.
Good. All right. I like it.
Sounds good, Steve. Cool. But I'm going to do a different one that's not that one. Do we have time for that, though? Am I boring everybody,
no,
or do we have time for another? Okay. Christine needs a sleep. She needs
Mary
one of those
wants
machines.
Another one.
Well, Mary, what am I? What can I say to Mary? Ave Maria. All right, here we go. Not quite the same genre, but I think it works. Let's see. Okay, let's see. There's a blood red circle on the cold dark ground, and the rain is falling down. The church door's thrown open, I can hear the organ song, but the congregation's gone. My city of ruin, my city of ruin. Now the sweet bells of mercy cut through the evening trees. Young man on the corner like shattered leaves. The boarded up windows, the empty streets, while my brother's down on his knees. My city a ruin, my city a ruin. Come on, rise up. 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 Now there's tears on the pillow, darling, where we slept. You took my heart with you when you left. So without your kiss, your sweet kiss, the soul is lost, my friend. My city's in ruin, my city in ruin. Come on, rise up. 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 With these hands, with these hands, with these hands, with these hands, I pray, Lord, with these hands, with these hands, with these hands, with these, I pray for the strength, Lord, these hands, with these hands, with these hands, with these, I pray for the faith, Lord. These hands, with these hands, with these hands, with these, I pray for your love, Lord. These hands, with these, I pray for your love, Lord. Come on, rise up. Come on, rise up. Much. That was not a Western song.
No.
All right, so we head into the return engagement?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. That's 720-240-976. It does not matter if you've called in or if you have called in. We're going to take everybody now.
It's just a wide open. 720-240-9766. Call now.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry, Open Mic.
And we're back. We have returned This is so engaging. Strangely,
wow,
it is the return engagement.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, I know. Wait, we came up with that name because it sounded fancy, but now it just sounds like we're kind of beating around the point. So we do have a bunch of callers who've called in. I think it's going to be a great time. But we're going to start with something special, okay? And I'm just going to kind of read this to introduce our next poet. Does that work?
Wait.
Fair enough for everyone? Everybody girded?
Loins are girded.
Loins are girded. Here we go. On the occasion of a Friday, under the starving moon, a solitary figure appears, ascending to a cold, moonlit mountaintop. His feet, so nimble, flirt with the 1,000-foot drop as they cross the path to the mountain's peak. When he reaches his destination, he sits, furiously scribbling a message in the dirt. It will exist for a sacred and fleeting moment, only to be taken by the northern wind, wiped out of existence. This is impermanence in action, but he cares not. For he is the motion of the poetry. He is the spirit of all artists, the patron saint of letters. He is the haiku master.
Oh, he's a haiku master.
Yeah. There can only be one. So here we are. Once again.
Once again.
Featuring another piece of work by the Haiku Master.
I have three.
Thrice. You shall thrill our ears with your poetry.
All right. First one. Desert in bloom. The rattlesnake passes by. Purple and orange fields.
I didn't know he was going to write these about my childhood.
Are you the rattlesnake?
It's a metaphor.
Oh, okay.
Number two.
Dos.
Sunsets and campfires. The twang of the guitar calms. The doggies resting. Number three. The West is calling. An experience for sure. Happy trails to come.
Lovely. You know, that was great, man. Thank you so much. You know, it's like we're joking, but he really is the haiku master.
Oh, boy, he's a haiku master.
There can only be one. Well, now that we have the dignity of our show intact, because the Haiku Master made an appearance.
Yes, now you're going to take the rail, the whole thing off the rails that no, he just put it back on.
No, actually, I don't think so, because we have enough poets that are really solid and really good that they'll maintain that, and I think this is great. So let's... once again, it's not even a surprise. It's almost like I can start to predict the call-in... Because people just kind of have their own way of calling in time.
There is a timing.
It's really something.
Really interesting.
Yeah. So let's just go to, of course, he's number one, Dennis from Michigan. Dennis, how are you?
Yes. I'm back.
You're back. You've returned.
I returned. And well done, Haiku Master. Yeah. Thank you for sharing those.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So what do you have for us?
All right. Well, you inspired me, so I went out and found a poem to read for the return engagement. The title of the poem is The Truth of Woman, and it was written by Sir Walter Scott.
All right.
Woman's faith and woman's trust. Write the characters in the dust. Stamp them on the running stream, print them on the moon's pale beam, and each evanescent letter shall be clearer, firmer, better, and more permanent, I ween, than the thing those letters need. I have strained the spider's thread against the promise of a maid. I have weighed a grain of sand against the plight of heart and hand. I told my true love of the token, how her faith proved light and her word was broken. Against her word, the truth she plight, and I believe them again ere night. End of poem.
Very, very nice choice and great, great read there, Dennis. Thank you.
Well, he was quite a rhymer. I really enjoy his poetry.
He really was. I mean, and you know, it's all of those little facts that I threw out are based in. They weren't the untrue facts. You know, they're actual things. He was a really fascinating guy, and I think he's credited with being the person who was one of the first people to actually put the word glamour in literature, as well.
Okay.
Yeah, which is interesting. That's why it said he was so fancy that he created glamour.
I can believe that.
Yeah. Well, Dennis,
thank you.
Appreciate
it. Once again.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Well, thank you. Yes. Till next time. God bless.
God bless. Thanks, Dennis. And that was Dennis from the state. That reminds me of something that I really needed yesterday when it was snowing. When you never really take gloves that seriously until you need them and you don't have them. And then you don't even take them more seriously than after you've frozen your hands and then you sit down in the car and you realize they were right there the whole time.
Oh, those are the worst days.
Yeah. So that was, you know, but you get over it quickly because now you have them and you're like, whatever, let's just move forward. All right. So now we're going to head to Titus. In what I think, if I saw in the chat room, is Surrey in the UK? Is that right, Titus? I'll wait for him to come back on the line. Mm-hmm. Hello, Titus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm still here.
What? Thank you for staying up for us. Now, I saw in the chat room, did you say that you lived in Surrey? Is that right?
North Surrey, yes.
Oh, North Surrey. Okay. So now I'll know. I can kind of introduce you that way as well.
Yes.
But, thank you for staying up for us. What do you have for us this time?
Well, it's just I've written a lot on plants. This was the first one. It's called Amomotus almighty. It's a plant, and some people call it a weed. I think one. They'll never see a flower like it. You know, never put in the mind that this plant is a weed anymore. So it's called Amomotus.
Okay.
Standing erect of posture. Oh, sorry. Carry on. Amomotus. Standing erect of posture, so reminding us of how binding gathered as the green compound segregates a removal, a crest from an illustrious pending confide, reminding us disproportionately sensing our sequels, besides ruffs supporting her eloquent charms, vacating a noble realm known to simplify Amomotus, for a diadem she wears is comparative in displaying her divinity like a fairy tale. I would abandon each sprite to alleviate this tiny world. Distinction is known minutely when she is worthy a bud. Adorned as tendril to a sophisticated lass, given scruples will personify, revealing integral parts, displaying higher than involves she could pray for. Her pistol style icons give scallops retrieval to Venus where she can stand. So that's a little praise for a plant that's probably a weed in most people's eyes. It's like putting someone on a pedestal, which for themselves probably, I think it actually, some people praise me highly for my poetry, but I think that's thanks to them for putting me there, I guess.
Yeah.
I
can definitely say I very, very deeply appreciate your work and always have and kind of echo that as well. However, I do know from the other side that when you've put the work in, you're aware of the process it took to get there, and you realize that no poem is as perfect as the one you have in your head before you start. And so it can be hard to accept that, but I think, just being able to,
well,
understand it's
for
them.
Most of my life, I've put myself on a lowly basis, and I think I have to thank you for putting me up a little bit. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Titus. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much, and we hope to hear from you next week.
Lovely. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. And that was Titus, all the way from North Surrey in the UK. Yeah, much better, isn't it?
That sounds better.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad we actually have it. You know, he's only been calling the show for like 5 years. We probably could have figured that out.
Well, there was a little confusion because I remember somebody saying the Isle of Man.
It was only because of his country code we were trying to figure out which portion, and it just came up Isle of Man. But that's all.
Okay. Never mind. Yeah. Never mind.
Anyway. All right. So we're going to keep moving. So we're, what now?
Just moving right along. Footloose and fancy free.
Would you like to introduce the next person?
Sorry.
No, right there. It's right there.
You were just being cranky.
No,
I'm cranky.
I'm actually asking you if you want to introduce the next person.
Fine. I'll introduce the next person.
That's why we're here.
Who's from Kentucky?
What's
your voice?
Philippe.
Hello.
Hello. Philip. This is about that pizza you ordered. It's going to be a little late.
My pizza's here? Good. I'm hungry.
It's going to be a little late.
Let's eat.
All right. I love the idea. See, the thing I really like about conversations we have with Philip is they act like thinly veiled innuendos, but there's nothing behind it. It's just that we're speaking in terms that actually have no context and don't really mean anything. It's like,
just to like leap into the Sex Pistols. Yeah, I'm pretty vacant. Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely.
I think it's good. Vacant innuendo. Doubt. That's a good way to communicate. That'll be our language, Philip.
Well, I appreciate it. And your innuendo is much savvier than mine, I assure you. And, as a clumsy segue, I just wanted to tell you, I think I'm actually kind of getting better or more mature or just, more mellow in my age. I'm sure you know this. I occasionally take a pipe or a cigar out in my front yard. And a couple of days ago, with the spring weather coming in, the joggers suddenly reappear out of nowhere. And some dude in the neighborhood, he has this funny run anyhow. I don't want to go into describing how funny or why it's funny. But anyhow, he's running. And, as I'm smoking, I'm thinking, of course, mocking people in my head. But I'm like, suddenly I'm thinking about chasing him like a dog or something, barking at him. And then I pause and go, why am I thinking like this, Philip? This is not good. This is not why you don't go out in public often.
This
don't.
Is not protective. Yeah, or this is not productive. No, yeah.
Right? That might be considered assault.
You know? I got to say, though, I have two uncles who, I guess when they were younger, when someone would jog by the house, they'd just run out of the house and start running down the street after them.
That's pretty funny, actually. Especially if they're really good runners. Yeah.
Especially if you're not as good as them and you start yelling at them to slow down.
Right.
Slow down! You know what I mean? That's a jerk! We get it! You're fast!
It's good to be spontaneous, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, I appreciate being allowed back on the stage a second time. I do truly appreciate it. And by the way, Michael, you sounded wonderful tonight. You sounded strong, confident. I whatever vitamins you're taking, keep taking them. It's working.
I appreciate that.
You were in the moment, my friend. You really did sound good tonight. And by the way, who was the second song? Was that your song or
no,
is that
no, no.
Bruce
the second
Springsteen?
One was, it was Bruce Springsteen. You're right. Yeah.
I don't know Bruce Springsteen all that well, but it was a really quite lovely song. I don't think I've ever heard that one.
So. I've got to say, I just finished listening to his autobiography for a second time, and I've only had it for like a month as an autobiography and or as an audiobook, I mean. And he's one of those guys where I would say that time will tell if he's greater than his moments. But I think in certain moments, he's unbeatable. And mm-hmm. I don't say that from a fanboy perspective. I think just sometimes he does things that no one else can do. But even if you're not a fan, if you just love music itself, that autobiography, especially read by him, the audiobook, is just amazingly passionate and poetic and beautifully done.
Okay.
I would recommend
I'll certainly check it out. And, I agree with you. I mean, I know he's talented. I just think that one of my first real loves, as it goes, was for Bob Dylan. And I think that overshadowed
a lot of other kind of contemporaries, even though I don't know if they're exactly contemporaries, but he's been in the business for so long. Sure. I've always been fascinated by Bob, but I know that Bruce certainly has his place.
He's got his own place, but Dylan himself is you know, especially when you're talking about lyrical ability and poetic ability.
Yeah, he's a different kind of phenom. I mean,
totally.
Yeah. And I think the Nobel Prize proves that.
So, well, not that the Nobel Prize proved it. It's the fact that he didn't respond for like 3.5 weeks. Like, oh, yeah, thank you, man.
Right. But I mean, I'm finally, they got one right. Indeed, he deserved the Nobel.
Exactly, man. Next one, if they're going to get it right, they got to give it to my next door neighbor, Todd, because he puts up with all kinds of crap from me and never bats an eye. He deserves a Nobel.
Shall I throw one at him?
Yes, please.
Well, I'll get to it. And before I do, Mr. Haiku Master, I really dug tonight's selection, sir. You were pithy and have a lovely voice, by the way. So,
oh,
good
well,
for
thank you.
Sir.
I appreciate it.
You are quite welcome, Mr. Haiku Master. So, cheers. Well, I'll get to it. This one proved somewhat popular today. So it's my most recent post, and here we go, the lengthy title. In the key of a slightly off, written for lonesome travels through unmapped geographies, dimly overcast and inwardly looming. And here we go. With a silence reserved for prayer, I wait among shadows, a Kaddish unuttered as each breath approaches the epistemological limit somewhere among the conclusions and unsolved paradoxes. Only songs will lead us through the wildernesses where temptation undresses, as it once did allegorically in that didactic mask written by the famous long-haired effeminate Milton, referred to today by its misnomer, Comus. Always the same beasts corralled by our repressions. Your face, already a silhouette, when the moon entices the sun, whose eclipse kisses soothe my sunburned bare feet stained with wine dregs and blood detritus gathered over centuries, forgotten in the present tense. The irrationalities of every clock measuring vanity and ephemera, carving wounds into our being to make enough room for love, acts mistaken for rituals by those who believe they will live forever. And there it is.
Philip, I don't know what it was about that piece, but I started feeling like tumbling tumbleweeds at the same time, like the music went under. I have no idea why. It makes no sense.
Sure it does. It's your subconscious associating me with the dude from The Big Lebowski, which is how that movie opens. And,
you know,
I've been confused for that more than once, even without a white Russian.
You know, I would say, if you know, remember the scene where he runs over and he shades on the pad to see what the guy had written down right before he leaves the room?
Yeah.
And it's the drawing. I could totally see you doing that. All
no,
the best
really
way.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Especially as heavy set and bearded as I am. Yeah, no doubt. I'm, yes, sir?
No, I was just listening. I was just laughing.
Oh, good. I'm glad. It's so good to hear you guys. And Michaels, there's more than one of you. I wish you well in all your endeavors with the travels and the so forth and the performing with, you said, pedigree. So I thought dogs playing on stage.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of howling, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, I hope there's some howling out in the audience, too. And Haiku Master, cheers. Christine, it's so nice meeting you. I think I've heard you before on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's nice to have you back, and I hope you become a staple to the show. So.
Well, thank you. You have a good night.
All right, you too. Cheers to all of you.
Hey, thanks, Philip. We'll see you later. Uh-huh. See you next time.
All right, bye.
And that was Philip calling us from Kentucky. And yes, they can.
They can what?
Tucky.
What's a tucky?
I don't know.
The hell does that
they might know what a tucky is in Connecticut. They're the sexiest state in the union.
Barbara in Connecticut. They might know what a tucky is in Connecticut.
know what a Chucky is in Connecticut.
What?
I don't know, Barbara. I was hoping you were going to get me out of this.
What did she say?
I said they say it's Kentucky, and yes, they can.
Oh, no. We say Kentucky.
K-U-N?
Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Yeah. Not Kentucky.
No, that's K-O-N. Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Like fun with a K.
F. Steven. It's Kentucky.
Kentucky.
No. Kentucky.
Is that, if we'd be with a U, maybe an umlaut, Kentucky.
It's right. Every E sounds like a in New Yorkese.
Every E in New Yorkese. Every E sounds like a. New York.
No, New York.
Well, but that's not an E-W. No. I mean, I'm confused now, Barbara. I'm just playing around with you, Barbara.
Language
Sorry
is confusing, Michael.
Language is confusing. Get your head together. All right. Barbara, I'm just playing around with you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. And awed by that poem, Philip. Just like, oh, my God. Anyway, I just want to also say how great your music was tonight. Really, really good.
Thank you.
And sorry I'm not closer, so I can't come and see you when you're performing. So if you're ever in this area, let me know if you're going to be touring around.
Sure, I'll let you know. Yeah. I might start doing some live Facebook broadcasts, you know, from like a bathroom somewhere or something with a guitar. There's good acoustics. I'll make sure everybody's notified. Michael in a bathroom, live!
Live on Facebook. Don't mind the flushing.
But live from Flushing. That'd be just a bad joke. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to shake up the program a little.
Oh, no. We will now become a maraca in your hands.
Yes. This was my poem for the week that you weren't on. So it's called Searching for Truth. And so here it goes. Suddenly we have been thrown into the world of 1984, where everyone speaks newspeak and facts are altered. There are no facts in that world, for if they were allowed, they would unbalance the whole precarious situation they have created. Instead, they use alternative facts, once rewritten to conform to the norms of the ideas of the elite. Are we in that world where proven facts are called out as lies, and a government spokesperson tells us a lie is an alternative fact? Should we cater to this insanity, or do we show how this is untrue? The big orange guy yells fake news at anything he doesn't want to admit, and his people follow like loyal subjects, repeating his vindictive cries, as if repetition will bring this into the world of facts, instead of what they are, alternative facts. What is a world built on alternative facts? Should we believe up is down and right is left? Do we believe what we see or wait until it is interpreted for us by our government leaders? Will we grow to believe lies? Say something long enough and people will believe it. Repeat the lie and the lie will grow wings and fly. It will reproduce and create more lies as it grows until the truth is devoured by all of the lies around it. The truth is delicate and must be treasured like a favorite scarf or piece of jewelry. Nurture the truth by telling it again and again. Even if the lies are there, the truth will overcome them and glow with the diamond glory it always has had. The truth will be our shield in this horrible time, and if we stand behind it, we will be sheltered. Its power is not to be underestimated, for it will shine a light on the heart of a lie. Raise the flag of truth and let it fly over all. Be brave and ignore the alternative facts. Search for the truth in everything you see and hear, and don't give up. The truth will cover you and protect you. The truth is your armor. End poem.
That was a very, very interesting one. I liked it. Just very quickly, what inspired it?
What inspired it? okay, the words for that week were alternative and facts.
Well, yeah, I know the subject matter, but what did you feel in you that directed you with that subject matter specifically to write that?
Do you really want to know? I mean, do we have to? Do you want to discuss this? The fact is that I was disgusted by all of the ideas that are coming out of the Oval Office and his cohorts and people around him, and I believe with all my heart that the truth is the only thing that will work, and that the alternative facts that they try to put in front of us, like even today, the crazy speech that went on today, where the whole thing was totally lies, and the fact that now the government doesn't even want certain newspapers to be in on the news is frightening to me. And before it gets too far, I feel that we need to keep telling the truth and, you know, supporting the truth and not letting these lies catch hold with the people who don't look at things or, you know, accept only what they hear and don't look into things. And that's why that poem was written.
Okay. No, I think that was a very fair explanation. I appreciate it. Thank you, Barbara. And you know, it's good to know. I wouldn't have asked if I didn't want to know that. So,
seriously, that's why I wrote it, because it affected me so much. And I'm not a person who likes to walk around angry. You know, there are some people who can walk around angry. They're angry, they can do it. But when I'm that angry, I have to write about it. And then when I write about it, it feels better. So it made me feel better. And, you know, that's what it was. And I just want to thank you guys. And hi, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And she's really been a good asset for the show. Keeps you guys sane, I think. And want to say that I'll always be writing about the truth. If something comes up and it bothers me, I'm not going to be quiet, because as a writer, I feel it's my job, and a lot of people appreciate it. So whatever.
All right, Barbara. I know wherever there is injustice, we will find you.
U-B-I-O, U-B-K-A.
That's it. That's right. Wherever there's pain and suffering, she'll be there.
Exactly right.
It's Barbara.
In the white hat.
Yeah. All right. Barbara, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
You're welcome. You have a great week.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut.
Connecticut.
No,
don't.
Connecticut.
Don't. Stop.
No?
Stop. There are other people waiting.
Well, yeah, but this is what we've done for like almost 5 years now. I feel like things are changing so rapidly. I don't know what to do. Maybe I should take my pants off again.
No, don't. All right. Please
here we
don't.
Go. Okay. And here we go to New York and Steve. Here we go. Okay. Steve, hello.
Uh-oh.
The wheels are completely gone.
I tried.
Christine, you made a valiant effort.
Yes.
It was like one of those Looney Tunes. All wheels just went off all at the same time in different directions.
Although we now have on tape for posterity, Michael offering to take off his pants and every woman in the area saying, please
keep them
don't.
Back on. Yeah, please don't. That happens all the time, Steve. In fact, that's not the only time that's been done. I think that's happened a lot.
That's like a common thing for him.
I don't want to know. You know, it's who am I to judge?
You know, that's the
truth. Anyway, JT, outstanding job as always as the haiku master.
Thank you, sir.
Michael,
yes.
With the music, you didn't completely suck.
Thank you, Steve.
Although you left out the New York portion of the refrain of the song.
Which part is that?
It comes after Yippee-Ki-Yay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. That makes sense.
Definitely man. Left it out.
He was thinking.
So that's why it could have been better, but nicely done.
All right, thank you.
And for future reference, The Ballad of Paladin was written by Johnny Western and Richard Boone.
Okay, well, someone will have to remind Johnny Western of that, because you would think by the attitude he was carrying around, he'd written every major Western song in history.
Have gun, will travel, reads the card of a man.
Yep.
A knight without armor in a savage land, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
But anyway.
All of a sudden we went to The King and I.
It is late or early for some of us. Happy Saturday, by the way. Have a short piece here, and then I just want to say thank you again for everything you do. This piece is as of yet untitled. The saint of sacred sorrows, wearing a cloak of Miles Davis blue, I never understood your sadness, your need to impose order in the chaos, always pulling out the weeds, even when they be roses in the wheat field, all individuality removed, leaving long, flat fields of neutral numbness. End of poem. Again, thank you for your politeness.
Wow, no, I really enjoyed that one. That was very strong imagery there.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, thank you for what you do every week. I appreciate it, and I'm sure everyone else who is a faithful listener and caller appreciates it. But I'm very upset with myself because I realized this evening, 17 March is a Friday.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if after going up the avenue I will be able to burden you with my work.
Hey, I'm going to be spending the whole day with the Archbishop, Steve, before I come and do the show that day. But afterwards, that's when it's going to really happen.
Okay. Well, looking forward to hearing the remainder of the callers. Thank you again. Take care.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.
And that was Steve all the way from New York. Mother.
Good save.
Beep. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to catch myself now.
Good thing for that 8-second delay.
Yeah. In my head. All right. Let's head all the way to Jim in Puh. Hey, Jim, you there?
Yep.
All right. Wonderful. So welcome back to the Return Engagement. What do you have for us this time?
Well, I was debating one that was kind of on the sleep theme, and I decided against it. And then I also got one from Walter Scott. It was from The Lay of the Last Minstrel. And I thought, I don't know. No. So I'm going to go with this one. And when I read it, when I finish reading it, Pete, you guys can let me know what you think it's about.
Okay.
Okay, it's titled Moonlight Fisherman. Black-lighted, luminescent eyes, believing lies told in the dark, leaving their mark upon the gangrel creature's soul, no longer whole for dark deeds done under the sun. His years spent alone in that cave, a willing slave of the precious he found precious. End of poem.
Well, JT, would you like to make a guess about what it's about before I just throw a truth bomb down and make it happen? I think you can do this.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
The very end threw me off, but...
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of two. So you're either talking about the real name or what he became.
Right. Right. And see, that's kind of the question. So is it, should we use, is it one name? Jim, or is it
either,
two?
Either or.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So let me.
Either
so
or.
Christine, you. I'm sure you got it too, Christine. Like, there's not even a question. I don't even need to ask you if you got it.
Hello.
Yeah. You're like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I read. I know what's going on. Yeah.
I have one of those fancy Kindles that holds up to thousands of books. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing. All right, so should we all just say the name, the well-known name of that character?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
All ready? One, two, three. Travis. Oh, Gollum. Sorry.
Travis.
Travis, the cave troll with the precious stones.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm totally making it. No, Gollum, yeah. So that was very cool, man. I like that.
Yeah, it was really good.
Thank you.
Wonderful, man. Well, hey, will you be joining us again next week?
Yeah.
Here's my wish for you, though. By next week, I hope you have a sleep machine. I hope you're able to rest really well. I hope you're back on the job, and I hope you're feeling really good about it.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
All right. Well, best wishes, man. You're in our thoughts, and I'm sure everybody else who's listening.
Yeah. Hopefully, like Patsy Cline, I'll be crazy.
Perfect. All right, thanks Jim.
Appreciate
it, man. See you next week. And that was Jim all the way from Pennsylvania. Like Lana Del Rey. Okay.
Wow.
All right. Speaking of Patsy Cline.
What? Wow, what a weird transition. Okay.
Let's go to Sinister in Missouri. Hey, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can. Loud and clear, man. I'm going to step back, give you the stage, let you go. We'll talk after.
This is called Redundancy's Grip. Under the slivers of stars pushing through dust's molten early hours, apart now from the imposing chaotic rust that invades every instant, a place I grew to know through fond moments, distressed by the city grit, ocean waves. Breaking from this overstimulated apex that is modern living, everyone digitally infused, can't even have solitude or privacy and trivial practicality. What's welcome for their reprieve? Corporate moguls hijack smart extensions. Viral spyware tracking here. What's your range? Everything's cyber handcuffing existence for samples of DNA. Physical locale uploads. Chimes, rings, vibrating further into the cerebral where your subconscious lays. Loop the fertile canal through the cortex, causing herd-esque mentality relays. My intellectualism is slipping track, attacked via teleprompter grudge, venomous social feed. Wool grows much faster when forcefully fed fear on national news that propaganda uses to brainwash. Overwhelmed, yet fortunate not to be cast into a sea. Ashamed, I admit, the modern trend is sinking me. Shattered my will that once held stoic resolve and brass tacks of my individuality. Inertia of a mass atrocity has besieged defenses. Painfully aware that this cup will never empty. Like too early display of holidays yet to come, this social infection sees the world gone fast. So blinded and unaffected and monopoly shimmer, distracting them quizzically of what humanity lacks. Unimaginable, yet true. The wealthy digits consume all top 50 dowries. Country's name, not known. Reason eclipsed by the lights reflecting pseudo-wit and flashbulbs of silver exploitation. By here, kids. Winds rise up and downward from polluted nanostratus, invoking my intuition to reclaim space. Emphatic, I'm defiant notions miss, lacking bliss, inundated, weary, screaming in redundancy's grip. And peace.
Very nice, man. A much more subdued version of Sinister. We get to see him occasionally. I like that one, man.
All right. That's my outtake on
societies swirl around the loom.
Understood, man. Understood.
At the least.
All right, man. Sinister, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for everything. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, microphone disappeared.
That's all right. We'll talk to him next week.
All right.
All right. So that was Sinister all the way from Missouri. Now, that actually is our last caller for the return engagement. It's been kind of a short night tonight, but I think that's good. It's been just long enough. So, at any rate, from JT, from Christine, if I may speak for you, Christine, I'm not trying to just jump on top of it.
Oh, as long as you speak properly.
From Christine, she would like to offer you salutations of the fanciest degree. And myself, someone who would like to own two monocles so I can be twice as surprised, I would like to bid you all adieu. No, actually, let me just put it like this. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Thank you, everybody, for sharing your work. We're really happy that you joined us. We're happy to be here, and we'll see you again next week.